The climber began this historic day, waking before dawn. He donned his favorite red t-shirt and cut-off nylon pants, then ate his standard fare of oats, flax seeds, chia seeds, and blueberries before driving to El Capitan Meadow. And then he pulled out a pair of sticky-soled climbing shoes, fastened a small bag of chalk around his waist to keep his hands dry, and found his first toehold and began his climb at 5:32 in the morning. For the next 3 hours and 56 minutes, Alex Honnold inched his way up the face of El Capitan, following the route known to climbers as Free Rider. This route has 30 sections or pitches, as they're called in the climbing world. It's in Yellowstone National Park. And he says it's so difficult that it was considered newsworthy any time a climber ascended El Capitan using this route. The zigzagging trek up the face of this nearly half-mile-high granite face, it's actually 2,750 feet in elevation, entails squeezing his body through narrow chimneys, tiptoeing across ledges the width of matchbox boxes, and in some places dangling in the open air by just fingertips. One of the most critical sections of this climb involves a small handhold, 1/8 inch wide, followed by a karate kick move to catch the next hold. One of the most daunting physical and mental challenges Honnold faced was two pitches of steep, undulating granite. It's an expanse of granite that has been polished glass smooth over the decades, over the long time. And he was only able to maneuver through this through a technique called smearing, where he actually just walked up. As you walk up, you kind of twist your feet, your soles of your shoes against the rock surface, making sure that he was balanced precisely, maintaining his balance and maintaining enough forward momentum to avoid sliding off. Honnold later equated this to walking up glass. Free Rider tests nearly every aspect of a climber's physical abilities, strength of fingers, forearms, toes, abdomen, as well as flexibility and endurance. However, on June 3rd of this year, Alex Honnold became the first person ever to free solo climb the nearly 3,000-foot granite wall of El Capitan. It's a famous rock face at Yosemite National Park in California, making a climb considered a difficult feat for even the most skilled climbers. Honnold scaled this rock wall without using ropes and no safety gear at all, thus completing what this author said may be the greatest feat of pure rock climbing in the history of the sport. The information on the article I took this information from was written by Mark V and was published in June 6th of this year. And it gave a very detailed account of this most spectacular climb. Many that are saying that it's the most daring climbing feat that has ever taken place. In fact, the well-known climber, Tommy Caldwell, who made his own history in 2015 with his ascent of the Dawn Wall, El Capitan's most difficult ascent, on which he said, you know, they used that free climb, but not free solo. He said that this climb that Honnold made could be considered the moon landing of free soloing. So what can we learn from this extremely risky, but yet historic climb? Can we apply some of the principles and techniques that Honnold used, deployed to assist him in preparing for this climb and overcoming his fears? Can we use that same, can we learn how to overcome our fears and allow us to move forward to attain our goals with the confidence that Christ wants us to develop? To give a little background, Honnold burst onto the international rock climbing scene in about 2008. He had two high-risk climbs. They were rope-free climbs, but they're different than what he did in this one. Rope-free, he wasn't free soloing. He was climbing without ropes, but he was with a buddy that had, they used ropes and they used safety gear. So nothing to aid in the ascent, but there was safety nets, a safety gear that was used. And he did this on the ascents of the northwest face of Yosemite's Half Dome and the Moonlight Buttress in Utah's Zion National Park. These climbs astonished the climbing world and set new benchmarks, much the same way that Roger Bannister redefined distance running in 1954 when he broke the 4-minute mile. Pete Mortimer, a climber that has made several films with Alex, was quoted as saying, "What Alex did on Moonlight Buttress defied everything that we're trained and brought up and genetically engineered to think. It's the most unnatural place for a human being to be." By the end of 2014, Honnold had achieved international fame for his exploit. He had been featured on the covers of National Geographic, New York Times Magazine, Outside, and 60 Minutes had done a profile on him. He had quite a few corporate sponsors by this time. He had co-written a best-selling memoir. So I don't know if he was planning to might as well get my memoirs down now early before I, when I do these risky climbs. And he had started a nonprofit foundation to improve the lives of needy communities around the world. But he felt that he had not yet made the mark that he had hoped to make on the climbing community. And so in January of 2015, Caldwell and Jorgensen had summited the Dawn Wall. This was considered El Capitan's most difficult climb. This was a project they had spent years studying and training for, and Honnold was there to meet them at the top of the climb. And Jorgensen told a reporter, "I think everyone has their own secret Dawn Wall to complete one day." "What's my Dawn Wall?" Honnold asked himself, but he already knew the answer. For years, he'd been thinking about what it would take to free solo El Capitan. So the title of my message today is, "What is your Dawn Wall?" What goal are you going to set for yourself? Or what goal have you set for yourself? And I'd like to go through 6 points that I took away from this article that was written by Mark Fee and told about how Alex Honnold had prepared for this most dangerous, this most risky climb of his life. The first point was that we already saw it. It's identifying your Dawn Wall, setting a goal. In order for this risky climb to take place, Alex Honnold had set this as a goal. This was something that he wanted to do. He wanted to make his mark on the climbing community. The feat that Honnold completed on June 3rd was only possible because he had already set the goal to free solo El Capitan many years before accomplishing that feat. His free solo climb of free rider may have been an amazing feat, but the Bible challenges us, each one of us, to do something incredible as well. Let's look at a few scriptures that we can see this. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8, in verse 29. And again, these aren't new scriptures, but I try to put this in a context of the challenges that Honnold went through. I think we can learn something from that. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This should be our goal. Everybody's goal should be something along this line. This is our destiny, to one day conform to the image of Jesus Christ. We also see another scripture in Romans in chapter 12 and verse 2. If you would turn to Romans 12 and verse 2. And it says, "And do not be conformed to the world," but we saw just in the other scripture, we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, not to the world. But it says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Interesting, this morning we talked about, Mr. Schallenberger gave a message on what is the will of God. So this we see is the will of God, that we be transformed. Transforming the renewing of our mind. The Greek word that's here means translated transformed. It means to metamorphose. That's to change completely in both form and structure. And when I think about something that goes through a metamorphosis, think about a tadpole turning into a frog. It's a complete change. That's the change that we need, that should be our goal, should be the focus of what we want to do, our destiny. One more scripture when we talk about setting that goal of what is our dawn wall. What is that challenge that we all have? If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here it talks about attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The Greek word that's used here for perfect or perfect is a reference to development of moral character. That's perfect is where we want to develop that moral character. In the climbing world, summiting the Dawn Wall on El Capitan may be the pinnacle of a climber's life. But when I ask, what is your Dawn Wall? I'm talking about making the commitment to transforming our lives to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the first point was, if we're going to accomplish something, if we're going to achieve something, we have to set that as a goal. Second point is setting up the training regimen. Honnold went about training for the climb of his life. He knew that it would not be easy. To put the climb in perspective, Freerider, the route used by Honnold for this ascent to the top of El Capitan, is considered one of the most difficult climbs. And like I said earlier, that until recently, it made climbing news just anyone that free climbed it. Forget about free soloing, just that they were able to free climb it. In other words, to climb it without the use of any ropes or any equipment to aid in the ascent up the mountain. Now, prior to his June 3rd accomplishment, he had been practicing for the climb for more than a year, training on routes throughout Yosemite National Park and other sites around the world. He had been up this route many times. And Freerider, as he had told, tests nearly every aspect. It takes the strength of fingers. We talked about dangling. There's a section, another pitch, where you actually dangle above the El Capitan Meadow by fingertips as you're going up this climb. You know, the toes, the abdomen, flexibility, endurance. Then you have to worry about environmental factors, sun, wind, sudden rainstorms that could come up in this area of California are all factors that Honnold had to calculate before undertaking this historic climb. But once he committed to the climb, he committed to a very extremely rigorous training regimen. The first thing he did in training is his disciplined diet. Alex's standard breakfast consists of oats, flaxseed, chia seeds, and blueberries. So my question is, what is our daily diet? Is it disciplined? Is it just as disciplined as Alex's diet was when preparing for this climb? Let's look and see what the scripture said about what our diet should consist of. If you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll look in verse 15. And it says, nevertheless, she will be saved. Oops, let's try to get to the right chapter here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here it's talking about diligent. We want to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God. And diligent in training. The word here means to make an effort, to labor, to endeavor. And this means we take it seriously. We're focused and we're engaged in the effort. Rightly dividing, it means to proceed on a straight path, to not deviate from the path that we have set out to accomplish. In Psalms 119, verse 66, if we turn there, we'll look and see what our diet should entail as well. So we're talking here about the training regimen, what we're looking at, how we would train for the goal that we have to fulfill the full stature of God. It says, Psalms 119, verse 66, it says, teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. So we need to have knowledge, good judgment. Our diet should consist of God's teachings, where we learn about good judgment, where we have the knowledge of God's word. And we should include these in our daily diet. Let's look at one more scripture when we talk about what we should have and what should be part of our diet. And that's in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 14. Proverbs 15 and verse 14. And it says, "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness." So here, we don't want to feed on foolishness. We don't want our diet to include any foolishness. But we need to strive for understanding and for knowledge. And we need to take that knowledge in on a daily basis. That should be our disciplined diet that we have each and every day. So what do we feed on? What is our nourishment? Does our daily diet consist of seeking knowledge and good judgment? The second part of his training regimen was the physical training itself, the actual preparing his body for that climb. The article went on to say that Honnold is obsessive about his training. It includes hour-long sessions every other day, hanging by his fingertips. Hour-long sessions hanging by his fingertips. And doing one and two-arm pull-ups in a specially made van that he has an apparatus bolted to the van in the doorway of this customized van that he uses as his base camp as he travels to different climbing sites around the U.S. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what Paul says in 1 Timothy about our training and what we should consist of. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll look at verses 7 and 8. And it says, "But reject profane and old wives' fables." And it says, "And exercise yourself toward godliness." The word I want to look at here is exercise. The word here, exercise, is the Greek word gymnazo. G-Y-M-N-A-Z-O. Of course, it seems pretty apparent what that means. And it means to train or exercise vigorously. And back in the days, it would be trained in a palestra, or what we would call the gymnasium, or in a school of athletics in the Greek culture. So it was that word exercise that they used here was something that denotes physical training. It talks about really engaging. And it says, "Exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is a profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So he's not talking about bodily exercise, but he's talking about exercising yourself toward godliness. But yes, it has that same, he used that same term to denote the strength that is required. If you would, let's go down to chapter 16. And it says, verse 16, it says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear it." The term phrase here I'm looking at is "continue in them." It's not something that we do for a few weeks, but something we continue doing all of our life. Continue is the Greek word here, it's epimeno, meaning to abide in or persevere. And persevering denotes a striving. It does not something that comes easy, but something that has to continue. You have to stick with it. Much like, Honnold just didn't train for a month. He didn't train for a few months. He trained for over a year because he knew how critical it was. If he were to be successful to undertake this climb, he would have to be fully prepared physically, his body, his strength-wise, but his diet. He took the nourishment that was required for his body. But the analogy is that we need to take the nourishment and we need to then exercise that knowledge that we have, exercise the judgment that we learn in the Word of God as we go through the training. Let's look at one more scripture under the training aspect, the point number two, and that's in 2 Peter, verse 3. In 2 Peter, in verse 3, chapter 17 and 18, it says, You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge. That's what he was growing in strength. He was growing in ability to complete that climb. This growing in grace and knowledge gives the connotation of training ourselves to be godly. It takes patience, hard work, and discipline to achieve that goal that we have set for ourselves. The third point is the detailed preparations. It was interesting when I read the article about Alex Honnold, how detailed he is in his preparation for this climb. One of the most difficult aspects of completing the free solo climb is maintaining one's composure while being alone, hanging by a fingertip, or standing on a 1/8-inch ledge thousands of feet above the valley floor. Much of Honnold's praise he's attributed to his detailed preparations. Mapping the route is a subsection under detailed preparations. In addition to the disciplined diet and rigorous workouts, Honnold spent hours perfecting, rehearsing, and memorizing exact sequences of hand and foot placements for every key pitch out of the 30 pitches on the climb on the wall. He's an inveterate note taker, logging his workouts, evaluating his performance on every climb that he made leading up to this free solo climb on El Capitan. My question is, are we mapping out our route to attain our goal? He mapped out the route by actually making the climb many, many times. In other words, he did more than just study techniques. He actually applied the techniques in real life. He rehearsed and memorized the exact sequences of hand and foot placements for every key pitch in the climb that he would make. It became muscle memory at that point in time because he had done those climbs and those techniques. With ropes, with safety gear, he made those same and rehearsed those key sequence of hand and foot and footholds. So it's important that we apply what we study. We talked about studying, having daily diet, but it was more than him just reading the techniques. He took those techniques and he applied them in the real world climb, on the climb that he was going to make later, free solo. The second point under the detailed preparation is completing the physical tasks required to accomplish the goal. Over Memorial Day weekend, just prior to his June 3rd climb, Honnold made a practice run up Free Rider with a friend. The two climbers reached the top of El Capitan in a little over 5 hours, 5.5 hours. But during this climb, Alex marked some of the key holds on the route with chalk. And so what he did is he knew where there were some, that these were critical handholds, they were critical pitches, and he marked those with chalk. That's why it took him a little over 5 hours to make that climb instead of the 3 hours and 56 minutes when he free soloed. And then a few days before his free solo climb, he hiked to the top of El Capitan and rappelled Free Rider just to make sure that a recent rainstorm had not washed off the marks he had made with those dabs of chalk to highlight the key holds that he would have to make if he were to be successful. And he found it dry and in perfect condition, and that all that was left was to rest and then to prepare mentally for the climb of his life. So my question is, can we read God's word all day long? Or we can read God's word all day long, but if we are to attain our goal and have the nature and the character of God, and we're going to transform ourselves, we must rehearse the actual actions, the good deeds, the kind words. We have to go through, not just read the words, we have to apply them in our everyday lives. Because that was a critical portion, a critical part of Honnold's training. Let's look at a few scriptures in this area. In Romans chapter 2, You would turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 13. In Romans 2, verse 13, and it says, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God." So it's not just those that are hearing it or reading it. It says, "But the doers of the law will be justified." Very similar to the training that Alex did for his climb. He applied all of the techniques that he had learned and that he had read about, but he applied those techniques. If you would look with me also, turn with me also in James chapter 1. We'll look at a few scriptures here in James chapter 1. We'll start in verse 21 and read through verse 26. And it says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." It says, receive it, implanted word. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Will you be deceiving yourselves if you're only hearing the word and not doing it? "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So we don't want to just be hearers. We don't want to just be readers of the word. Continuing in verse 26, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So it's to actually apply those principles, apply the word of God. Mental and physical preparation gave Honnold the confidence and the poise to succeed. We can do the same, and we can succeed if we apply the word of God, the principles that we study and we hear and we read, but apply them as well. The fourth point to being able to accomplish this feat was the ability to control fear. Remember, he's free climbing nearly 3,000-foot sheer cliff without any kind of safety gear. The route that Honnold chose to reach the top of El Capitan, free rider, is one of the most prized big wall climbs in Yosemite. It has the 30 pitches, and it's so difficult that there are very few climbers that are even able to climb this, just free climb, much less free solo. But the true test for Honnold was whether he could maintain his composure alone on a cliff face hundreds or thousands of feet above the valley floor. While executing intricate, complex climbing sequences where positioning a foot slightly too low or high could mean the difference between life and death. Elite climbers have pointed to Honnold's unique ability to remain calm and analytical in such dangerous situations. But it's a skill that Honnold has developed over the 20 years he's been climbing. And he was quoted as saying, "With free soloing, obviously I know I'm in danger, but feeling fearful when I'm up here is not helping me in any way." We know that fear can be a very debilitating feeling, emotion for any of us. It can really impact our ability to move forward. So my question is, are we developing that same unique ability to remain calm and analytical in dangerous times as we go through life, as we face our challenges to meet the goal that we have, to be like our elder brother, Jesus Christ? Well, let's look at a few scriptures that tell us we should be without fear, that we should have courage. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Now, Alex Honnold relied on his abilities. We can rely on the strength and the power of God his omnipotent power, and he says that we should not fear. He's telling us not to have fear, that he will be there. He will go along. He will be with us as we go along our life struggles. In Isaiah, we see something that's very similar as well. In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8. And here it says, "Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." So he's saying, do not fear. He is our rock. We can depend on him. We can rely on him. We can have that courage because he is with us and he will be with us throughout the difficult times in our lives. But it is important, I think, to note that it was a critical aspect of that climb is being able to control that fear. And I think we need to do the same. If we can control the fear as we go through trials and tribulations, if we can look at that and we can have confidence in God's power and his promises that he will be with us, that's an important part to accomplishing our goal. Let's look at one more scripture and ability to control the fear, and that's in Daniel chapter 10. We'll look at verses 10 through 14. In Daniel 10, verses 10 through 14, it says, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling." So we see here that Daniel feels the presence of God. In verse 12, he said, "And then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." So we can count on God. Once we turn to his word, we can count on God to be there, to send his angels to help us, to be there with his powerful Holy Spirit. We can count on God because of our words. This should provide us with the ability to control our fear and maintain our composure, so we can push forward to achieve our dawn wall. What's point number 5? The point is that even the most difficult tasks become attainable if we continue to push our comfort zone. As Honnold said in the article, he was fearful of attempting that free solo initially. But as he trained, as he worked through and prepared, as he mapped out every hold, his confidence level increased tremendously. And what looked like to be a possibility now became a reality. Honnold was quoted as saying years ago, "When I first mentally mapped out what it would mean to free solo free rider, there were a half dozen pitches where I was like, 'Oh, that's a scary move. And that's a really scary sequence. And that little slab and that traverse,' there were so many little sections where I thought, 'Ugh,' and I would just cringe. But in the years since, I've pushed my comfort zone and made it bigger and bigger until these objectives that seemed totally crazy actually fell within the realm of the possible." So when we first come to understanding of what's required of a Christian, it too may seem to be a daunting task. But as we learn about the power of the Holy Spirit and we see God's promises guide us through our Christian life, hopefully our goal of attaining the whole measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that too falls within the realm of possible in our minds. Let's look at a few of these promises that they have made. Then we see the promises in Matthew chapter 19. We'll start in verse 23. And in fact, the heading of this section in my Bible says, "With God, all things are possible." It says, verse 23, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly, I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? If it's so difficult to be saved, who can be saved? And Jesus, in verse 26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So just as in Honnold said that when he first considered making this climb, it was impossible. He didn't think that it was possible. And likewise, for us to achieve what God wants us to achieve, to gain that perfection, that development of moral character by ourselves, it's not possible. But with God, it is possible. Let's look at one other scripture, and that's in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, in verse 23. We're talking here about, and this is the fifth point that I'm making, is that what may seem impossible initially, once we read God's word and we study it, that should now become into the realm of possibility. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Just as Honnold now believed, after he went through the training, after he mapped out those sequences, after he did that climb numerous times, he now believed. We have to believe as well, that all things are possible to him who believes. Even the most difficult tasks become attainable if we continue to push outside our comfort zone. The difference is that Honnold depended on his own physical strength and his physical preparation, but we have the confidence provided by the promises of God and our elder brother Jesus Christ. The sixth point to accomplishing and climbing your Dawn Wall: when preparations have been completed, commence the climb and don't look back. On that early morning of June 3rd, Honnold parked that van and hiked up the boulder-strewn path to the base of the cliff. He pulled on his pair of sticky-soled climbing shoes, fastened that small bag of chalk around his waist, found his first toehold, and began inching up his way up to climbing history. He spent 3 hours and 56 minutes moving forward, climbing upward. And once he began his ascent to the top of El Capitan, there was no looking back. If he was to make it successfully to the top, the next handhold or foothold was in front of him, not behind him. He had completed his preparations and his training, and now was a time to execute and move forward. And along the climb, there were times that he was required to use a climbing technique called smearing. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. And smearing is where you actually take your foot, and it's on a steep incline, and just the toes, the flat part of the toes, and you kind of, it's kind of the, one of the, you talk about, you know, read about the technique, so it's kind of like squashing a bug as you're walking up the surface. But the key is that you can never stop, because if he were to stop, he would slide right off the mountainside. You know, it's to me, that is such a, I think, cannot think of a more vivid example of what we're called to do in our Christian life. And once we start in that path, there's no stopping. There's no looking backwards. We're committed and must continually look ahead. We have to keep perfect balance, because that's critical, that as you are doing that, walking up that, you have to be leaning forward just far enough to keep the pressure against the surface of the rock. You cannot stand up, obviously. You can't go too far forward, because as you would move further forward, you would lose that. Your body now is more vertical, so it would just slide right off. So you have to maintain perfect balance, and you have to maintain forward momentum to keep from sliding off the path. Because smearing is actually kind of a controlled slide. It's just that you're moving forward faster than you're sliding back down the surface. How is that not so typical of a Christian's life? You know, there's slides as we go through life. There's not a just, you don't always have that firm foothold, the firm toehold. So I think of that as an image of just that that technique. Let's look at one more scripture, if you would. That's in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Excuse me. But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Once we set that goal, once we're on that training course, once we set our vision of where we're going, we do not want to look back. On Saturday, June 3rd of 2017, the possible finally became reality. After trusting his skill and endurance over hundreds of handholds and footholds and controlling his fear for just under 4 hours, Alex pulled his body over the last edges of the free rider route on El Capitan. But brethren, this accomplishment started many years before. Honnold had been thinking that he would take the free solo climb for years. And when he knew what his dawn wall was. He knew what his goal was. He had set a goal for the greatest climb of his life. And then he set out and took the steps required to achieve that. He developed his physical attributes. He made detailed preparations. He mentally prepared himself to control his fear so it would not allow him to grip him as he was on that rock on that day that he would make that climb. In the morning of the climb, he strode confidently across the meadow below El Capitan. He commenced his climb without looking back. And 3 hours and 56 minutes later, he accomplished what some call the greatest feat of pure rock climbing in the history of the sport. But here's my question to you. Have you identified your dawn wall? Do you have the goal firmly fixed in your mind? And have you mentally prepared yourself to complete the task? And will you have that same dogged determination that Honnold displayed in his preparation and completion of the greatest climb of his life? Will you be conformed to the image of your elder brother, Jesus Christ?